Apologies for those of you who are not bilingual. We should have put at least a subtitle of what it's saying. It's about the advertising, it's a promo video for the conference that we'll be holding on coming weekend. We're really wanted our church to be a missional church. When we talk about mission, we think of overseas, but mission field is right where we are. So we wanted our entire congregation to have a mission mind, that each one of us are missionaries and where we are. So that's the gist of it. And it's advertising that we need to be missionary because the world is getting darker, the world is getting more and more difficult and corrupt. We've been going through the enemies of our spiritual life, and many topics were covered. I don't know if you remember them all. Indifference was one of them. Prayerlessness is another. And then unforgiving spirit was the topic that we shared. These enemies need to be destroyed and just not be in our lives so that we can have a better spiritual life. And today I want to share with you about envy and selfishness. Start with a joke. You know why lobsters don't like to share? Because they're selfish. That's why. It's a cute joke that I've been telling. And my kids, you know, they think it's old one. I need to come up with a new one. You see, today's church, there are too many lobster Christians. Even though we claim the name of Jesus Christ, we live very selfish lives. We want to be blessed. We want to be the ones who are in favor of God's favor. We want His glory and His riches just for me. We don't care about other people. It has to come to me. And if it goes to another person, we get jealous. And we ask God, how come I am not the one to be blessed? As a matter of fact, I'm sure there are many of us, including myself, that we have an attitude of jealousy. And when that package of blessing lands on someone else, we don't like it. We want it to come to me. Even in our prayers, we reflect this act of selfishness. A little girl was praying to God right before she went to bed. Dear Lord, now I lay me down to sleep. Before she said amen, she included this little extra line to God. Dear Lord, please send lovely snow so they can cover the land and it can really be beautiful. And then after she said that, she turned to her father and said, did you get that? I think I fooled God this time because I don't want the world to look beautiful. I just want to play with my sled, new sled, and that's why I pray for snow. From the time we were born, we are born as a selfish little creatures. And some people never grow out of their selfishness. Imagine how selfish a little baby is. And we find them cute and we find them so like adorable, yet they're very selfish. They don't know anyone else except themselves. They cry when they're hungry. They cry when they wet their diapers. And they cry when they're sleepy. They don't care about tired parents. They don't care about how much it costs to buy the diapers. They just care for themselves. And some people, as they mature, they grow out of this selfishness a little bit, not completely. But some people just live this selfish life throughout. The Bible is clear on this matter. In the kingdom of God, there's no room for selfishness. The Bible teaches us for us to consider other people better than ourselves. We are to seek the good of others. The word joy, some people put it, J-O-Y, is a priority that we need to have in our lives in order for us really to have joy, Jesus, others, and yourselves last. But oftentimes we put ourselves first. Y-J-O, that's nothing. Yijo, that's not even a word. When our spiritual life reflects selfishness, not only it hinders us from experiencing God, but also sometimes we tend to taint the name of God because of our selfish acts. You see, in our desire for personal gain, in order for me to be selfish, another trait, bad trait of humanness is displayed in our lives, which is envy. Envy is like poisonous plant growing in our human hearts. The seed is sown and we don't realize it, but it grows. And when it grows, we get angry as someone who have that I don't have. That they can do something that I cannot do. That someone can do something better than I can do. And we get jealous. Envy is a feeling we get when someone else has a position that we think I should have gotten. Many years ago, I was attending a baby Dol, first birthday. And there was a beautiful floral arrangement right in the middle of a table. A host said at the end of a party, the person who has a special hidden mark underneath the chair would take the floral arrangement. And, you know, you couldn't look down to see if there was a mark. So I waited, and then I was hoping that I would get it because I wanted to just impress my wife taking this beautiful arrangement without costing me a penny. So our table was almost full. Someone brought a baby, and I had to move one seat over. It happened that my initial seat that I was sitting was the seat that had the hidden mark. And I was for sure going to take that arrangement, but because of that baby, I had to move one seat, and that baby's mom ended up taking the floral arrangement. And that kind of made me not sad, but mad. I think it's envy. You know, I was like envious of that family that they were taking that flower. It had my name on it. I smiled on the outside and said, oh, nice. But inside, I was not very happy because I was being selfish. And I displayed the bad character of envy. Envy is not something new, something modern. It has been around for thousands of years, since the beginning of history. If you look at the story of Cain and Abel, first brothers and sisters, they offered sacrifice unto God. Abel was tending flock, and then Cain was a farmer. As a farmer, he gave the grains. And as the shepherd, Abel gave the sheep. God accepted younger brother's offering and not the older brother's. We can sit here and be totally objective and say, well, Cain should do better next year. And when he offers, that he should offer true and better offering next time. But the seed of envy crept into his heart, and it showed in his face, in his attitude. And God is asking, why are you so angry? Why is your face so downcast? God is just giving him a chance to turn around. Yet the seed of envy begins to grow, and it turns into anger, and it turns into a first murder on the face of the earth. Look at King Saul. He had a lot going for him. He had a lot to show off. He was handsome. He was tall. He was even humble. When he first became the king, he is displaying the humility. He was wow, I'm so honored. And I don't know what to do that you appoint me to be the king of the land. But when David appears and he defeats Goliath, David's popularity began to soar. And people began to sing, Saul has slain his thousands and David tens of thousands. And envy begins to grow in his heart. David was a good guy. He was a singer. He played the harp. Yet, this envy began to turn into jealousy and anger. And he plotted to kill him. And that envy mixed with pride brought self-destruction of Saul and his household. And do you recall the story of Joseph? Why did Joseph go to Egypt? Because of envy of his brothers. Joseph was his father's favorite. He was getting special treatment. And that brought envy to the brothers, and they sold him as a slave and went to Egypt. It was a spirit of envy which crucified Jesus Christ. Matthew 27, 17 and 18 says this. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, which one of you want me to release you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ? For he knew it was out of envy that they had handed Jesus over to him. You see, Pilate, who was at a judgment seat of judging whether to crucify Jesus or release him, he knew that these religious leaders brought Jesus to him out of envy. popularity of Jesus was rising, and people weren't really kind of excited about the Pharisees and Sadducees and the religious leaders, so they brought him to be crucified. Well, some of us might be tempted to justify, well, we need some kind of envy in order for us to excel in what we do. In fact, some parents try to install kind of motivational talk to the children by trying to plant envy in their hearts, and we begin to compare. You know, Pastor Jimbob's kids, they're so good in school. And their desires is this, for you to be envious and try harder and do better. But the Bible is clear on this issue. Envy is wrong, it is unspiritual, and it is from the devil, according to today's passage. Satan used and keeps on using envy to bring down men and women of God. We've seen it with our own eyes and some of us in our own lives, what envy can do to us. Well, let me give you some biblical reference of what envy does to you. Ecclesiastes 4:4 says this, "And I saw that all labor and all achievement spring from man's envy of his neighbor. This too is meaningless, chasing after the wind." Job 5:2, "Resentment kills a fool, and envy slays the simple." Proverbs 14:30, "A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones." Psalm 37:1-2, "Do not fret because of evil men or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away." And finally, 1 Peter 2:1, "Therefore, rid yourself of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of all kinds." And the commandment teaches us not to covet. Not only the Bible, but also in popular literatures that we know, the theme of envy is seen not as something good. John Steinbeck's East of Eden, Snow White, and Seven Dwarfs tells a story of envious queen. Shakespeare's Othello accounts of a story of Iago's envy and revenge. Envy does not end well, especially those of us who claim ourselves to be Christians. When we have an envious heart, it doesn't end well. But the sad fact is that at times we envy, even in the name of God. History records Michelangelo, a sculptor, and Raphael, a painter, were called and commissioned to execute work art for the beautification of Vatican. Although each had a different job to do, they became envious of each other. There was a such bitter spirit of rivalry between two of them that later, when they were facing each other, they refused to talk to each other. People knew there was jealousy between the two. But the most amazing part of it all was that both were supposed to be doing the work for the glory of God. At times, we say that we are doing work of God, yet we have this envy. It's not only for the lay people, but also even as a pastor. At times, we become envious of other people. When other pastors are doing ministry that is excellent and your ministry is going nowhere, we become jealous, we become envious, and at times we just tend to badmouth, not because they're doing anything wrong, but to bring them down and make myself look better. That's the evil heart of human being, and envy never ends well. Why do we envy? What is the reason? We know it is bad. We know it has a bad ending. But why do we keep on envying? It is because, first of all, we do not trust in the providence of God completely. We don't feel like God has my back, that God is going to make all things beautiful in his time. We don't have confidence in that. So we begin to just care for myself, and we become selfish, and we become envious. God promises to care for us, but we feel like God cares for other people except me. Envy and jealousy will not have part in our in our life if we believe in the providence of God and are content of where God has placed me. Paul was in prison. He wrote many letters from prison, and one letter that he wrote was to church in Philippi. Church in Philippi, to them, the message was just simple message, to live a joyful life. And Philippians 4:11 says this, I learned to be content in whatever the circumstances. You see, contentment is not something that circumstances and surrounding offers us, but it is something that is learned, something that we choose to do, something that is intentional. Contentment has to be intentional instead of reactional. Oftentimes we react to our surrounding to be content or discontent. We can choose to live in one of the two tents, content or discontent. It's a choice. It's an intentional choice that we have to make. Whatever God has given me now, we need to be content. Not to be selfish, not to be hoarding. We seldom think of what we have, but always are complaining of what we lack. Imagine what we have. We're living here in the United States of America, the richest country in the world. We're living in New Jersey, Bergen County, and our church is located in Norwood. We are in the cream of a crop of those who are upper class people who are enjoying all the perks of life. Yet, rather than having contentment, time to time from our lips comes complaints, envy, and selfish statements. It is because we do not trust in the providence of God completely. Learn to be content. Choose to be content. And second reason why we envy is because sometimes, because of our poor self-image and the feeling of insecurity or inadequacy. Growing up, I hated to be compared to other people's kids. My parents did that time to time. Why can't you be as smart as that deacon such and such kids? And you know, I don't say anything because if I say anything, I'm gonna get beat up. So I just think within my heart, then you go make them your kids, you know, if you like them so much. It just, instead of building a good self-image, healthy self-image, I begin to feel like, you know, I'm not good enough. And that's why we begin to compare myself with someone who is not as good as me and try to feel better about myself and then mistreat the people who are not, who are better than, who look like better than I am. Even in marriage too. You know, when we begin to compare my spouse with other people's spouse, then you get into big trouble. Be content with your spouse. You got the best that God has to offer. And you feel like, oh, you know, but that husband looks so much better. Some people think that, you know, oh, Pastor Jimbo, you must be so good, such a good husband. Well, talk to my wife. Maybe she have other things to say about me. Yeah. So when we begin to compare, we just tend to destroy a person's self-image and self-worth and make them inadequate and insecure. People who are getting married, you know, I used to be a yongnak and there were a lot of couples getting married. I did more than 400 couples to wedding ceremony. One of the kind of funny thing I see is this comparison of rings when they get married. How many carats? What kind of cut? What color is it? And they begin to compare. And who has the better stone? To me, they're just shiny little glass. Overly pressed charcoal. That's what it is. That's what diamond is. They may be woman's best friend, but men's worst nightmare. And there's couples who, you know, just go over their budget, and after they get married, They don't see husband anymore because he has to work harder in order to pay off that ring. And the wife complains, how come the husband is absent in our house? It's because of, that little glass you're wearing. So I have a suggestion to people who, the children of parents who are sitting here. When you get married, instead of trying to get big ring, like how many carat is that? Why don't you put a big carat on your finger and says, I have a, 2 carats and wear carats on your finger. When we begin to compare, we become not happy, but very unhappy. And third reason why we envy is this, we don't realize who we are. You know who we are? We're not ordinary people. We are children of God. John 1:12 says this, yet to all who received him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. We are children of God. And this is what it says in Romans 8:17. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, the co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. If we are children of God, we are heirs. You know what heirs are? We will get the inheritance from God. Whatever belongs to God, it becomes ours. So we are not to lack anything because we have Father who is going to give us the inheritance of all things. And this is what it says in Galatians 4:7. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Slaves don't get anything, but sons, you get inheritance. Everything that we see is our Father's. Our Father owns a diamond mountain. In fact, he made them. So instead of wanting a nice diamond, why don't you give him Jesus as an engagement present? I don't know if that would work, but might as well try. Envy stems from the desire of flesh. We need to walk not in flesh, but in spirit. People claiming to be follower of Jesus Christ, we need to be different. We need to have your sight set on things above, not of the earth. Colossians 3:2 says this, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Envy can be one of the greatest enemies of our spiritual life. When we envy, we gossip, we backstab, we make derogatory remarks, we make every effort to put other people down in order for myself to look good. It is such an evil act of selfishness. Yet, as a Christian, time to time, we fall into this temptation of wanting to be selfish and wanting to be envious. Oscar Wilde, in one of his stories, discusses how the devil was crossing the Libyan desert when he met a number of his associates tempting a holy hermit. They tried to entice the hermit with sins of flesh, tempting him with every way they knew, but to no avail. The saint was steadfast and shook off all suggestions. So this Satan and his associates tried to kind of tempt him and fall away from God, yet they couldn't do it. Finally, after watching their failure, in disgust, the devil said to the tempters, "What you do is too crude. Permit me one moment." Then the devil whispered to the holy man, "Your brother has just been made a bishop in Alexandria." A scowl of jealousy crossed the serene face of a hermit. "That," said Satan to his subordinates, "is the sort of things I recommend." Jealousy shakes the heart of Christians. Jealousy and envy, it just begins to eat away the hearts of believers. Today's passage says that when there is envy and selfish ambition, there is no truth, only disorder and evil practice. Envy takes the joy. Envy takes the happiness and contentment away from the life of Christians. Do you want to find joy and contentment and happiness in your spiritual life? Learn to be content. Learn that our God has everything, and all that we have to do is trust him. He has my back. Not when we are so rich that we have all that we need, that he is loving me, and when we don't have enough, that God doesn't love me. No. God loves me in whatever circumstance and whatever situation I may be in. He is owner of all things, and he's calling us his children, and he wants us to be his heir, that we will inherit all that he owns. Remember, envy put Jesus on the cross. Envy might put me in a place that I don't want to go, that I may be ashamed of. Human may justify envy as human nature, but God calls it a sin. Whatever God calls it a sin, no matter how much we justify, it is a sin. So, as we desire to really live our spiritual life without enemies attacking us with this weapon, we need to really focus our sight on God and God alone and be content, Jesus, others, and you. Let's pray. God, we want to trust you and you alone, yet at times, because of our circumstances, because of what's going on in our surroundings, we tend to turn our sight away from you to the problem and to the situation and to the circumstances. Lord, forgive us for our unfaithfulness and allow us to turn our sight back onto you. And we do not want to live our life just wanting to take care of my own life as if I am the owner of my life. We know that you are our master, that we are your servants, that we are your children, that we are the one to inherit all that you have and all that's yours. God, give us faith to trust in you and you alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.